As you turn there to 1 Samuel chapter 12, it's in the Old Testament. It's probably around the 8th or 9th book in the Old Testament. Now let me ask you this. What do you truly enjoy? Just shout it out. Food? Sleep? Okay. Grandkids? Okay. Music? Sports? Sports? All right. Coffee, huh? Yeah. All right, give her an extra point. Is there some place you like to go that you really enjoy going? Besides a tepayac or... Oh, heaven, all right. Give Fred an extra point there. Mario's okay. Disneyland has always been said the happiest place on earth. I ain't happy after I pay all that money, but wherever you go that you enjoy, or whatever you eat that you enjoy, or whatever you participate in that you enjoy, do you enjoy God more? Do you enjoy that relationship more? Do you enjoy that relationship when it's good times? Do you enjoy your relationship with God even in difficult times? Yeah. The pleasure of God he shows to us is amazing. The question was asked and answered in what is known as the Westminster Catechism. What is the purpose, or what is the chief end of man, or what is the purpose of man? And it's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And if you've ever noticed, and Sarah and I were talking about it the other day, yesterday in fact, there were things that we would crave. Man, we couldn't wait to go get a pastrami at Ari's, or we couldn't wait to go get taquitos at Celito Lindo on Alvera Street, or a roast beef sandwich at Felipe's. But you ever, or even a chili dog at Tommy's. But I've noticed, after I eat it, it was like, what was the big deal? It doesn't satisfy me anymore. But the danger is, that happens, if we don't watch out, that happens with us in our relationship with God. We allow the noise of life and the busyness of life and the trials of life and the struggles in life to just crowd out. And we allow sin to enter in. And we want to look at chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, because here, historically, in the book, God was the king of Israel. God was always the king of Israel. But the people wanted a human king. And so what they were basically doing is they wanted to exchange God. He wasn't satisfying them as a human king would. They wanted to be like all the other nations and had a man who would lead them. And somehow they started to falter in their enjoyment of God, that they felt a human king could do much more. We're not going to go into all the historical part of that, but God told them, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. They said, we want a king. So God gave him a king. And this is where we pick up the story here in chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. We're going to see four things here that I pray will help us enjoy God, because he enjoys us. If you're a child of God today, he enjoys you. You know, a lot of times as parents, we have the grandkids around and say, man, why couldn't we have them first? But obviously it doesn't work that way, but I think what it is we become mature and seasoned, and we don't stress as much with grandkids, because then we could sugar them up and send them home. But anyway, how does this work with God and his pleasure for us? And how do we deal with this issue of sin in our lives and all that? Obviously, we know it's at the cross with Jesus Christ. He's forgiven us of our sins. But we still continue to sin, don't we? We just don't make a practice of it, but we do. We make mistakes. We blow it. And the first thing I want us to see here in this passage is that God works for good in spite of our foolishness. Now, how many can you test? How many of you have been foolish this past month? Right. We're in good company then, huh? Look what he says here in verse 12. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, and here's an invading army coming against them, you said to me, and this is Samuel speaking, no, but a king shall reign over us, although the Lord your God was your king. Now think about that for a moment. Think about what they're doing. They're exchanging. Here they have the Almighty God, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere fully present, who will fight for them and has fought for them. But they said, no, we want a king. We think he can do a better job. We think he can handle this for us. And yet, years and years of God's faithfulness, he has shown himself faithful. They said, no, we want a king. Give us a king. And we find ourselves at times, don't we, ready to go to the Visa card instead of God. Ready to go to, you know, find another solution instead of going to God first. Verse 13. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. God says, okay, you want a king? I'll put a king in for you. Verse 14. But he says to them, all right, you've been foolish in asking for this king. I'm going to give you this king, but if you will fear the Lord and serve him, listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord. Then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. He says, okay, I'll let you have the king. But if you really want success, if you really want prosperity, if you really want joy, if you really want the fullness of this life, follow me. And he's telling that to the king, who is Saul. He said, look, I'm going to let you have this time. I'm going to let you have this kingdom. I'm going to let you be in charge. But the deal here is, if you really want to be successful, if you really want to be prosperous, you need to follow me, is what the Lord is telling him. And friends, that's true of us today, right? We have bosses, we have people over us, we have a president who some agree with and some don't agree with. Some hate him and some love him. But ultimately, we serve the King of Kings, Lord God Almighty. And we're to follow him, because he says here, fear the Lord and serve him. And listen to his voice. Get quiet, get alone with the Word of God. That's why we're encouraging you. Be in the Word every day. Be in the Word every day. Let God speak to you through His Word. Because He speaks loud and clear through His Word. But we just need to stop and listen and pay attention. And say, God, I don't understand what's going on here. Help me understand this passage. And then God will give you His instructions. Verse 15. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Simple instructions, right? Pretty black and white here, right? Obey me. Disobey me. Consequences on both sides, right? Some good consequences. Good consequences when you obey him. Bad consequences when you disobey him. Verse 16, even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Friends, and that's where we are right now as a church. We're waiting to see the great things God's going to do for us this year. We're ready, we're poised, we're ready to take on whatever work God has for us. Amen? Are you ready? Are you awake? Are you alive? Are you obeying Him? Then we need to put our hands to the plow and get going. Verse 16 again, even then, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. He wants to remind them, because now this is early summer. It doesn't rain. It didn't rain in those days at that time of harvest. And God was going to send thunder and rain to remind them who's in control. You think you're in control? You think your king is in control? King, you think you're in control? Let me show you with some thunder and rain when it doesn't thunder and rain at this time of the year. And God is showing us some stuff, isn't he, in our lives? Something comes up and say, oh, I better pay attention to God. That near accident, or maybe an accident, or maybe a health scare, maybe a problem in your life comes. And it's a wake-up call. Wait a minute. Watch me work is what God is saying. And friends, we're too busy putting our heads down and running and getting involved in all kinds of mischief that we don't stop to listen to the voice of God and watch God work. Let's watch God do his work in us. Romans 8:28, we all know that verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So you may be in a difficult situation in your life right now. You may not understand why God has allowed this. But know he's got the big picture view. And he's orchestrating things in your life right now so that down the road, he can put you in and get you involved. The second thing we see here, it is on the basis of grace that God gives us opportunity to repent and move forward in obedience. Can you imagine if the moment we sin, God zapped us? Who would be left? Maybe my dog? I don't know. She's annoying, though. I guess not. Just kidding, Cassandra. Well, besides, I don't have a dog. But it's on the basis of grace that God has given us and gives us opportunity to repent. Look at verse 18. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. They said, take things seriously here. God sure is powerful. Yes, he is. And the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. They recognize that. Friends, conviction comes. That's when you realize and recognize, you know what? I messed up. I blew it. I sinned. I wronged you. I wronged you, O God. David in Psalm 51 says, against thee and thee only have I sinned, O Lord. And at that moment is the moment of reckoning in your life. What are you going to do now? Are you going to move forward with God? Or are you going to say, well, thanks for that one. I'm out of here now. Got that one. It's like you go to court, right? And you pay your warrant or your ticket or whatever it is, your bail, whatever. Man, I'm out of here. God says, no, no, no. I need you to stay with me. Look what he says in verse 20. Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil. Okay, you're right. You're right. We acknowledge this. Yet, do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. He says it again. Why does he say it again? Because they're just as stubborn as we are. We have to hear it again and again and again. Kids, your parents, oh, they just nag me about it. Well, get it together and do it. But parents, as we're telling that to our kids, what about us and God? God's told us, get it together. Are we getting it together? But by God's grace, he allows us and gives us the opportunity to recognize our sin, to confess it and repent. Verse 21. You must not turn aside, for then you will go after futile things which you cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. Friends, you're at the moment in your life where you realize, I am on the wrong path. You realize, I got to get out of here. And the only way to get out of here is to follow after God. He may take you through the difficulties, or he may open a new path for you. But friends, you can't go back. We can't go back. You ever see kids, you get them all washed up and they're right back at playing in the mud, right? Just love it, right? Well, friends, spiritually speaking, if God has cleansed us, why are we jumping back in the mud? See, one author says that the Lord reminded them, come with us on Wednesday night and you'll see the bigger plan of God. But let me quickly say this. Eventually, God was going to put a human king over Israel. That was prophesied back in Genesis. But they insisted, and they insisted for the wrong reasons to have a king. And that's why God gave them Saul. And what kind of a king did Saul end up being? A bad king. He says, okay, you had enough of him? Let me put my man in there. And who did God put in? King David, a man after my own heart, is what God said of him. But they wanted to be like all the other nations. They thought this king, you know, it's amazing. Think about this. No other human king was able to stand up to Israel and be victorious as they traveled. And yet Israel somehow thought if they had a human king, he was going to take care of them. Friends, how often do we see that in our own lives? You know, we walk down a certain path and we say, it's going to lead to the same dead end. But we still insist somehow, maybe today, they're going to open that road. And it doesn't open. It ends up being a dead end again. In Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read it to you. Verse 20, the law came in so that transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace enables us to overcome sin. But he says, so that sin, verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? He said, no. May it never be. No. Is God gracious? Does God forgive? Does God give back what the locusts have eaten? Yes. But don't play games with God. Say, oh, I got away with it this time. He fixed it for me. I'll take care of it. I'll go back at it again, and he'll do the same thing for me. You're playing with God. And he's saying, stop it. Stop it right now. The third thing we want to see in this passage. See, again, this is God showing his pleasure to us. Verse number 3. God's allegiance to his own name is the foundation of his faithfulness to you. Allegiance might be commitment to. Look at verse 22. This is the key verse of this passage. This goes along with what God tells us in the New Testament. Look what he says in verse 22. Friends, let this verse capture you and remind you, even in the difficult times, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name. Not because of who you are, not because of your nationality, not because of your bank account, not because of your looks, not because of where you live, but on his great name, he will not abandon you. Friends, if you feel God is abandoning you, renew your relationship with him. Come back to him saying, Lord, I am fighting these feelings, I'm fighting these thoughts that you have forgotten me, you have abandoned me, you have neglected me. And I know that can't be true because your word says here, the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his name. There used to be a day where all you had to do was, you lend me $20, I will return it to you. It's on my name. And a man's handshake. Now, in order to get a loan, you got to fill out countless papers and sign and dot and that initial and They want your blood type. They want your, they just want all kinds of stuff from you. God was trading on his name. He's saying, look, I have not abandoned you, because if I abandon you, my name goes down the tubes. But he says, I will not abandon my, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Now stop and think about this for a moment. If you know anything about the history of Israel in the Old Testament, you know that they were problems after problems after problems after problems that they would get themselves into, right? And yet, God was pleased to make them his people. Why? Because he is at work in and through them. Friends, when you are struggling, remember, God was pleased to make you his child. Shouldn't that rock our boat? Shouldn't that rock our world? Say, God is pleased to have me as his child? Wow. That's an amazing thought. Because I know some of you, and you know me. I don't know. I don't know if I'd have to think twice if I was God. But I'm glad I'm not God. I'm glad we have a God who will not abandon us and is pleased to have us in his family. Amen? What else matters? What else is there in this world that can compete with that? Nothing. No one. Psalm 23, verse 3 reads, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, man. God takes care of me. God watches out for us. God loves us. Man. That, friends, should move us. That should take us to our knees. We should cry out with gratitude. Because we have an eternal home with him forever. At the end of that psalm, David says, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. It's an amazing thought. Point number 4. You are the pleasure of God's heart if you're a child of God today. Point number 4. As the Lord is committed to his people, so we should be committed to one another. Listen to Samuel's words. Now Samuel was acting as a prophet, as a leader. But I believe this fits every believer today. Moreover, as for me, hold on. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel considered it sin to not pray for him, for them. Now, let's stop and think about our prayer life. How many times have we sinned by not praying for people? He's saying, pray. I will pray for you. We need to pray for each other. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, with the spiritual warfare and the spiritual armor, he said, but pray with all perseverance for the saints. And who's a saint? Come on, if you're a child of God, you're a saint. If you're a child of God, you're a saint. You're someone who's been set apart by God. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Friends, we have a commitment to one another that we need to make. Because God is committed to us, we need to be committed to one another. To strengthen the links in the chain. To pray and instruct. To pray to teach. To pray to share. To pray to encourage. To pray to sometimes straighten somebody out, right? Said, hey, bro, man, I've been down where you're going. You're going in the wrong direction. And I know you're going down the wrong direction because I know at the end of that road is nothing but dead ends because I've been there. Let's get back. Let's go this way. Pray and help. Pray and love. Pray and encourage. That should be, and that is what true fellowship is in the church. True fellowship is encouraging and building up each other and loving and embracing each other. We may not like each other always, but hey, we're here, we're committed to love one another. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Friends, when you start feeling sorry for yourself, when you start feeling like nothing's going my way, just stop and remember what God has already done. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your loves for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. You know what that fervent? If somebody falls off a cliff and is hanging on by a branch that's sticking out the side, and you lay down and you reach and you can't reach them, what do you say? You reach out and you get somebody to say, hold my leg and I'm going to go even further. That, right? Like the guy who got bit by a rattlesnake on his backside, on his bottom. And his friend asked the doctor, what do I do? You got to cut it and suck the blood out. He said, hey, bro, you're dead. I don't know if that was appropriate for church, but. But sometimes we got to get a little personal with each other, right? So, you know, I'm stepping on your toes a little here, but hey, bro, it's because I love you. It's because I want what's best for you. Or sister. Fervently love one another. Friends, and this is the pleasure of God. This excites God when he sees a church that's committed to one another to pray and love and stand for, stand with, and let nobody stand alone. And I know I've blown it in this area, and I know we haven't always been there as a church to do this year, that year, where we're here for each other, where we support each other, where we encourage each other, we build each other, we pray for one another. Why? Because I have the backing of God, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how dangerous it is, where I have to go get you, God's not going to abandon me. His eyes are upon me, and his ever gracious hand is holding me. That's my God. Is that your God? Think about what you need to do for one another. Or maybe make a phone call. You know, you stop and think about the technology that's here today, that's available to us. Most of it is done with regardless of what feelings you hurt or people you step on. We have the opportunity to reach more people quicker than ever before. Let's use that for God's glory. Think about that. Think about who you need to call today. Think about somebody you can encourage. True confessions right now. I think I shared the story with you before. I used to ride my mountain bike up in Turnbull Canyon with some friends, and we had a new guy with us, Hans. He had ridden with us a few times, but we went down this one single track, and that the trail is about this wide, and we're down on our mountain bike. And there's curves and dips and bumps and all that. Well, for whatever reason, Hans went first, which probably isn't the smartest thing when you're not familiar with the trail. But we came up on one curve, and he kept turning. When the trail went that way, he went that way. And he fell down the side of the mountain, the hill, and he started to roll. But what broke his fall was these bushes. He could have gone down 30 feet if those bushes hadn't been there, but he only went down about 10 feet. And he was trying to climb back out. True confession, I hesitated to put my hand out to get him. My friend Pedro stepped in, and the reason I hesitated, he fell into poison oak. And my first thought was, man, that's going to be horrible if I get it. But I was thinking about myself, not Hans. Friends, we do that sometimes to one another, don't we? But we know that God will never abandon us. Sometimes he leaves us there for a little bit so we can catch our bearings, so we can realize what's going on, so we can see the rain and thunder come and know that he is reminding us how serious this is, but he's not going to abandon us. I would not have abandoned my friend. I just hesitated. Friends, let's not hesitate to pray. Let's not hesitate to encourage. Let's not hesitate to talk to people. Why? Because we have our God has our back. He will never abandon us. And He has chosen us, and it pleased Him to choose us. That's who you are today as a Christian. And we should be able to walk with confidence because of that. Father, today we thank You. But Father, if someone here today might not be a child of God, I pray, Lord, that You would work in their hearts. Draw them to Yourself. Cause them to confess and repent. Ask them to save, that they would ask You to save them from their sin. That they would spend eternity with You, O God. And that we'd be a part of Your forever family. Father, strengthen the rest of us, Father, who've been a little discouraged, who've been a little beat up by the world, to be mindful and to be thought, to understand that Your love for us is more than satisfying. Help us to embrace that. Help us to reach out to You. Help us to go to You. That we would find peace. For these things we praise You and pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you all this morning. Thank you.